A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Justice flourish and great peace till the moon is no more. He shall rule from sea to sea, from the river to the bounds of the
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. Verbum Domini. I hope you had the opportunity yesterday to follow some of the events at Seek 25 in Salt Lake City, Utah, a gathering of, I think, some 14,000 college and post-college students and others as well, and a wonderful event that EWTN has been televising live, and there's two remaining events this morning at 10 a.m. Central and 11 a.m. Central. But no worries, you can always watch it free on demand on EWTN's on demand page or on your app. And yesterday I had the opportunity to watch the first talk on January 1st, and the two MCs, Aaron Falbo and John Michael Lucido, told their own stories of how they had attended their first Sikh event, which was in Nashville, Tennessee, in 2015. And what a profound effect it had, how they really encountered the Lord in that event. John Michael spoke about shedding copious tears, not having enough tissues for his tears during his confession, after a long time, I suspect. And Aaron, too, the impact that it had on her life. Both of them now parents and married and with families. So Aaron said, she said to the crowd of young people there, expect God to surprise you. Expect God to surprise you. I was mentioning that to Father Matthew last night, and he said, Pope Francis often says, the God of surprises. And so I'm going to relate a couple of those events of how God surprises and manifesting himself. But first, just a couple of thoughts on the season of Advent and the season now of Christmas and Epiphany celebration that we celebrate today. And so during Advent, we especially are thinking of three different comings of Christ. So his first coming in humility and lowliness and poverty in Bethlehem. His second coming, which will be in power and glory when he returns again. But then also his third coming, which is in the present, where he continues to knock on the door of every human heart, waiting for us to open that door. Open that door to him who's knocking on our hearts, every human person. And when we do open that door, we have communion with him and he with us. So we think of those three comings, those three advents of the Lord, his first in humility, poverty, lowliness, his second in glory and power, but his present coming, because he is with us. Now today, let us think about the three manifestations of the Lord. And so we can think of his first manifestation, which was to Mary, that when she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, she became aware of this little one within her who began to grow within her, who was alive within her, not just with natural life, but with divine life. So that first manifestation was to Mary as she carried him within her womb. And then later it was revealed to Joseph too, so he's aware that what she has conceived is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not fear to take her as your wife. And Joseph was obedient. And then the second manifestation is when he first became visible. And so what we celebrate at Christmas, his nativity, where he is born, he's first made visible to Israel, to the shepherds who come to witness him, his presence there. And then the third manifestation is the one that we celebrate today, his manifestation not just to one nation, the people of Israel that God had chosen. Our second reading spoke of that, that Paul said, you know, that the mystery was made known to me It was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit that the Gentiles are co-heirs, the non-Jews, most of us, that we are co-heirs, members of the same body, co-partners in the promise. How? In Christ Jesus, through the gospel. So it's Jesus now has brought about this new beginning. In the fullness of time, Jesus is born. He is manifested at Christmas in his nativity. But now we celebrate the three kings representing all of the nations of the world. He's manifested to all of the world. And so we can think about that too, that when he is manifesting himself to the entire world, that he continues to manifest himself to each of us personally too. And so this is one of the surprises I wanted to talk to you about. You know, Peter Crafe says God has a sense of humor. And he says, you don't believe that? He says, well, anything good, and a sense of humor is good, comes from God. And God has a sense of humor, that he is a God of surprises. And so one of the speakers, Sister Mary Grace, and I encourage you to listen to her beautiful talk. She's a sister of life from Australia, and you pick that up in her Australian accent. And she talked about these different ways in which the Lord has manifested himself just through her day-to-day life where she's doing things. And she told one story where they were traveling through the mountains, they were getting low on gas, and she said, I have this gift where if I'm talking to someone in the car, I kind of miss my exits. And so I get so lost in the conversation, but finally, after missing two important exits to get gas, there was another one that led to this obscure gas station. And so they pulled over there, and she gets out with her sister of life habit, and she's filling up the car with gas. And she notices out of the corner of her eye, two women looking out the windows of the car with their mouths wide open, looking at her. And so she notices that, and she's just filling up the car with gas. And she looks at them, and they scream. And so she nods toward them. And a little bit later, after she had finished filling up the car with gas, one of the women got out of the car, and she said, I wanted to tell you what had happened. She said, both my sister and I, that we've struggled with addiction. I've been sober for 2 months, and I want my sister to have that too. So I said, well, let's go to the mountains for a retreat. But her sister just kind of got overwhelmed by this addiction, and she just was discouraged. She said, just pull over. And so her sister is scrolling through her phone, and she comes to this video of a nun talking and talking about how Jesus had liberated her. And hope began to dawn in her sister's heart that maybe Jesus can do this for me too. And so when they see this car pull up and this nun get out, it was like a confirmation of all of that, that yes, Jesus can do this for you too. So eventually her sister gets out, the three of them, they laugh about it and they cry, she said. And we had a prayer meeting at this obscure gas station there in the mountains, praying for Jesus to bring his life and healing. So you see how God manifests himself to us to let us know of his care. And that was just I encourage you to listen to that talk because it really will give you heart and hope if you're discouraged or you think that the Lord can't do anything for you. And one of the, I'll give you a couple of the quotes that she said. God can insert glory into every single story, to the exception of no one. So his glory, his power, he can insert it into every human story to the exception of no one. She said, before every act of trust is a motion of surrender. Every letting go is a leaning into someone. So we're letting go, you know, of our anxieties, our fears, our struggles. We're letting go, but we're not letting go into nothingness. We're leaning into Christ, into Jesus. That's where our heart, that's where our hope is. That's where our glory is. And how she spoke about the reality of peace, that peace is not just for the departed. It's not just for those who are retired or those who have the means to, you know, to do whatever they want in retirement. But peace is real for us now in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And that's why the kings symbolizing all of the nations of the world, what do? They feel impelled to prostrate themselves, to do him homage. And that's what happens when you encounter the holy. I was speaking with a man last week who was talking about his own kind of search and disappointment and different things that he had gone to. And finally he decided, well, there's a shrine up in Hansville, isn't there? So he and his wife went up there and they just experienced the presence of God there. And it renewed his heart and his hope and his growing in his Catholic faith. So the experience of the holy, of the presence of God, and we have that, thanks be to God, in every Catholic church because there's a tabernacle there where we can come and we can do him homage today, now, like those three magi who bowed before him, who recognized who he was. And that we delight in that. Today's first reading from Isaiah, it's toward the end of the book of the prophet Isaiah, where he has these messages of what God is going to do. And it's not just for a people of that time, he's seeing far beyond that. And it's really understood completely in Jesus. Rise up in splendor. Your light has come. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. You shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow. That's the promise that God makes to us through Isaiah. You shall be radiant at what you see. When you come to discover the Lord, the light that emanates from him that dispels the darkness in our own hearts. Our hearts shall throb and overflow. He fills the deepest longings of our hearts. One final story about God's surprises. I've enjoyed reading this book, Listening for God in Everyday Life, where Joseph White, who is a counselor and has been involved in helping people who have very difficult situations. He talks about different ways in which God speaks to us, reveals himself, manifests himself to us in everyday life, in creation, in silence, in struggle, in humor. He's got a great story there. In the liturgy, in children, in people in need, in scripture, tradition, the saints, art. I'm just going to relate briefly one of the stories where the title is God Speaks to Us Through Children. And so he was a college student. He had just finished his second year, and it was a summer break. And so he'd gotten this job taking care of a daycare summer camp. And he's watching these kids and how carefree they were, and they were playing in the jungle gym, and they're upside down, and they're laughing, and they're singing, and they're playing freeze tag. And he's thinking to himself, because he's worried about, you know, I don't even know what I want to do in the future, where I'm going to go to graduate school. I wish I could be as carefree as these children. And at that moment, a four-year-old girl named Alexandra comes up to him and tugs on his arm. And she looks at him with a smile and says, "Know who will take care of you? God will." Know who will take care of you? God will. And he came to discover that that was a true little prophecy, if you will, because in that very spot he would meet his future wife. He would indeed go to graduate school. And he would, 3 years later, enter the Catholic Church. God was part of that whole story. God can insert glory into every single story to the exclusion of no one, Sister Mary Grace said. So that is the hope and joy that we have today on this Epiphany, that God has manifested himself. He manifested himself to Mary when she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, then to Joseph, then in Israel, when he first becomes visible in the birth and the nativity, and then to all the nations of the world, symbolized in these three magi who come to adore him, but including each of us personally.